What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Wait, was that a house?
I turned it into a, where I live. I turned it into a house.
What?
So here's...
I mean, it just,
why did walk me through that?
Just, no, don't walk me through. Just let it stand.
A true scat, you don't know where you're going.
Okay, that's fine.
And I don't know where I was. So,
I heard what you heard, Mike. I heard a into my house.
I mean, I heard several volume modulations, and then something about your house.
Yeah.
Would you rather?
10 out of 10. I hear you, Mike.
Highway to Spell, and we are drafting today, per usual. Today's draft: movies you wish you could watch for the first time, all over again. Right? There are some movies that the first experience, it cannot be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we will be got the first pick.
Yeah, there's different reasons. You know, it's like, oh, is it because it doesn't have the same rewatchability once you know, or is it the experience of, you know, that day?
Right. Or is it a twist?
Yeah.
Because you can't, you know, the second time you watch it, you know the twist already.
That's true.
So we'll be drafting those.
Could we make a movie where, like, there's a twist, but then the next time you watch it, it's not there?
Oh, man. What a twist.
Double twist. Like, when they put the movie out from the, they have the, you know, the theater release, but then the home release is just a different ending, but they don't tell you that it's going to happen?
I mean, we can do anything we want, Mike.
That's next level. M. Night, you listening?
Yeah. Double twist.
Well, I think to do double twist, what you should do is a theatrical release all across the country, and you get one of three reels in every theater.
Okay.
And then at that point, you might have watched a different movie than the people down the street. You don't even know which one you got.
And then you go back to the theater to see the next one.
And you hope you get the new one.
Yeah, you might get the same exact ending.
Okay.
Hear me out. Next level. You just use your PR team to say that you're doing these different endings. You only have one, and you just get people to come back and back. They want to see the other ending.
Have they ever done a movie like they should film the same movie, but just swap one actor out for another actor? Same movie, same everything?
Back to the Future.
But not on just a re-release.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you release, like, The Matrix, but it had, like,
where it's like
Keanu plays it in one of them, and you go to the theater, and it's a different actor playing the main role.
Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Nick Cage is Neo.
Yeah. All right. I think we're done talking about that. It's time.
I think it's a great idea.
Time to move on. We figured some stuff out there. This is on par with the urinal gaming that we figured out.
Which was already a thing.
This has already been a thing, too.
Would you rather?
All right, Ian from Patreon says, would you rather wake up missing both your pinky fingers or wake up owning three cats?
Oh, man.
What a weird question. What a weird podcast this is.
What? I mean,
missing both pinkies. No, I mean, to own three cats, there's got to be some rule. I've got to now take care of these cats, right? Like, this is not, I can just. It's do what that, I would do, which is to scurry them out of thy house, never to return.
Taking care of a cat, I hear, is quite
easy. Yeah, you don't need to do nothing, right?
You just leave the bowl of food out. I mean, I guess
a sandbox.
If they're an indoor kitty cat, you got to have the place for them to go potty. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like here, just a lot of people are just going, go outside, cat. And then they go outside and
maybe they come back, maybe they don't.
I would say the vast majority of cat owners have a litter box.
Do they?
I think so. I don't know cat owners because I would never associate with those people. There's also allergy problems here, fellas.
Yeah.
I mean, to you two weaker immune system boys, you guys have severe allergies to so many things, and cats are one of them.
Yeah, but the allergies, like at no point in the allergies getting really, really bad do my pinky fingers fall off.
That's... Yeah, I've grown quite accustomed.
Attached?
Yeah, to the use of the pinky finger. Comes through in the clutch a lot.
I wonder...
Sipping tea and stuff?
Yeah, this is not, let people know.
This is not
I'm
to take
fancy boy.
Anything away from these awesome pinkies. If I could have another pinky, I would.
Right.
But if I lost my pinky,
you feel like you're fine?
I feel like I could do 90. I mean, I could do 99% of the
pickleball?
Same things. Maybe not as well. Like, I'm trying to think of what I really couldn't do without a pinky that I could with. Now, Mike, you're a guitar player, right?
Yeah,
that comes to mind.
I would like to have my pinky for that.
For sure. So yeah, maybe you just lose one of them.
People don't opt into losing your pinkies. People do opt into having cats.
That is a good point.
Yeah, people
so that's
make
a choice that some people make. This is the most anti-cat show that has ever existed. Al, I have no idea. How do you feel about cats?
Get them out of here.
All right. Mm. So we lost some of our audience today.
Well, just the ones we wanted to.
Oh, well, man.
I will speak this for the pro-cat crowd. I've heard that cats are tremendous hunters. And so, like, I mean, if you got a rodent situation, they'll take care of that. They also track down and kill moths, which
is impressive.
That's tremendous for me because
you're really anti-moth.
I'm anti-flying bugs.
Right.
Because they don't know where they're going, and I don't know where they're going.
Yeah, no, they have no idea.
It's usually, though, your face.
You're thinking of, like, what are the jumping ones?
The locusts and stuff?
No.
Grasshoppers?
Grasshoppers. Those have no idea where they're going. They just launch.
They go,
like TNT went off below them, and then they are flapping in the wind.
Like, oh, this place is pretty sweet.
They close their eyes and they spin the wheel and step on the gas.
It is literally a slingshot is all that happens. They're just going, I want to go that way. That's true.
That was a grasshopper quote.
Those things are the worst, man.
No, I don't like, because they have no, if they want to get away from you, they couldn't do it on purpose.
No, because they don't even control which direction they're jumping.
No, they would just jump again and it could hit you again. Look, I honestly think a cat would be the pet for me if I wasn't horribly allergic, genuinely.
Sure.
You don't have to take care of it. It keeps to itself. It's basically not having a pet. It's just an animal that lives in your house.
Owl says they can also kill scorpions.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Arizona's got a bit of a
scorpions,
scorpion problem.
They're out and about in your backyard.
Can scorpions kill them?
Great follow-up question.
Probably
because
not.
Then we could have fewer cats.
Can scorpions kill pure evil?
Yeah,
probably not.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do scorpions come from cats? This is a breeding situation.
Did we decide that you would rather lose your pinkies?
I'm still trying to work through what things, other than playing a guitar, that I really need that.
Grabbing anything.
Yeah. I mean,
you know how you talked about pinky up? You know how you talked about
because you don't need it.
Because you don't use your pinky to grab things.
What about typing, Jason?
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually full legit. I type every day.
Took me 30 seconds to debunk your argument.
Give me them cats.
All right.
I need my pinkies.
Wow,
typing was all I needed. I mean,
all right. Desiree from Patreon. Would you rather erase all of your past cringe moments from everyone else's memories, but not yours, or erase them from your memory, but not everyone else's? Well, this the weird thing about this question is that if they're erased from your memory and not everyone else's,
then you're Russell Wilson. You don't know how cringy you are.
Is there any way that would, like, if you don't know,
you never
how
did
you're
it.
Being interpreted, it's basically like you never did it. Now, people might act a little weird against you.
I think it's worse. I think it's worse if you don't know your cringe level, like you don't know that you're cringy,
but you don't know, so it's never actually a problem.
But
for
it
you.
is it might not be a problem for you. And again, I go back to Russell Wilson here, the quarterback,
yes,
cringy sandwich guy. If you don't know and other people do know that you're cringy, that has an effect on you, even if you don't realize the effect. People around you think of you a certain way, treat you a certain way, avoid you in major ways, and that does affect you, even if you're ignorant to it.
But is that really that bad? If you don't know, then it's not really affecting you. I mean, I guess if people are avoiding you and you get to the point you're like, why does no one want to hang out?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just being avoided and I have no idea why, then that can affect you. But I mean, it sounds pretty good of, like, anything or just, you know, like a cringe. You had an embarrassing moment. And you're just, poof. That thing is gone. It no longer haunts you at 1 in the morning.
It would feel that way, though, if you knew everybody around you forgot them. You would feel the freedom. You might know that you're a cringy person, but you'd feel the freedom of knowing you're walking into society with a clean slate.
If I do a cringy celebrity impersonation in my bathroom by myself in the mirror,
right?
I don't feel bad about that. Ain't nobody know. You know, that's I don't take that embarrassment.
What celebrity are we talking about here?
Probably walking. I mean,
what? Was that supposed to be walking?
See, oh. But thankfully,
are you wiping everyone else's memory? Or
nobody
own?
Knows about that. I was in my own bathroom there.
Okay, all right. I hear Al that's laughing. Good. Al, do you have a walk-in of your own?
No, sir.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Two mice.
Oh, man. That was better.
That was better.
That was much better.
Well, that's because it's something he actually said.
That's the hardest part about an impression. You have to like say something in the way that the person said it.
Mm-hmm. That's what an impression is.
Did I say in the way?
You just laid out the definition for us. Made it real clear.
Thank you, though. That is the hardest part of an impression is the impression part.
People at home, an impression
I meant to say something they've said, but I definitely described an impression like a dictionary definition of one.
Yeah. That's the hardest part.
It sounded like them while you do an impersonation of them. Yeah, so I guess I'm going to erase it in everyone else's mind because I think I'll have the freedom still, and then people will treat me fairly.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Steve from the website, would you rather make consistent spelling and grammar mistakes?
Okay, been there.
Or be the person that always points out everyone else's spelling and grammar mistakes?
So
that person
generally
sucks.
Yeah, generally speaking, humanity does not like the grammar police. And the spelling police, if you are consistently making those errors, let's walk it out. You don't have like a spell check and you're sending people notes and emails that are littered with spelling mistakes.
For instance,
now that would be,
let me give you an example.
Hit me.
Before this podcast began, I
yes.
I received a very professional email from Cox Business Services, right, which is a local internet provider. And
yeah,
let me get the name here.
Yep.
Yeah, leave it redacted.
All right.
Redacted.
And they wrote and they said that maybe I was interested in upgrading my internet service because some of my neighbors have recently upgraded.
Well, that's great.
Now they spelled neighbors, and there's what a show for this: NABORS.
Nabbers,
which is I've never seen it spelled that way in all of my days. The spell check must have been the alarms, and it must have been going off.
Now, so, did you have a problem even reading? Did you know what they were saying right off the bat?
Or no,
you had to stop and go.
No, I had to stop and say, "Oh my!" He thought, "Oh my!"
Like they were describing one who is doing like nabbing.
Yeah,
a lot of stealing.
I couldn't.
Maybe they just misspelled that.
It was capitalized.
Wait, what?
Well,
in the middle of the sentence, it was
yoink.
It was a capitalized, like, your neighbors, they're very important, and it's only six letters long.
Whoa.
That person I've lost a lifelong respect for.
Like, that's incredibly embarrassing.
Like, I feel like I should write back and say, no, I'm not interested in service. However...
Just say, what's a nabber? That's what you should respond and just say, I'd like more information on this. What is a nabber?
How do you
got to put them on blast that way.
Is this a service?
Because there's no, I mean, you only get one of two responses back from that. Either they understand their mistake and they're like, oh my gosh, how embarrassing. I meant neighbors.
I'm sure that's what you get.
I'm sure that, I hope, I pray that's what you get. Because if they
if they write back the people next to you.
That's worse. That's your nabber.
Like, at least put a Y in there. If you're going to spell it, at least have it be phonetic.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. And today's a stupid spelling show.
But misspelling stuff and sending it in any sort of, you know, professional circumstance is, I mean, that's a red letter. You're toast.
If it goes that, look, if I spell the word ridiculous wrong, maybe you forgive me.
Right.
Well, because no one knows how to spell that word.
But
exactly.
But if you don't capitalize your I's, but you right. know what I mean? Or yep. use punctuation.
You look like a child.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was looking through one of my children's texts. This was about a year ago. They were preteen, and I had to take them aside and say, "Okay, look, we capitalize eyes. We use for like this was like unreadable. I was like, this is not okay. You look wrong."
And now, the more I look at this email, there are fonts that are different sizes inside of this email.
Yeah, what is going on?
And so, what's the alternative here? So this is getting worse and worse.
Or you're the one who points them out. So you'd be the person writing back and saying, "Excuse me, Mr. Communications, better learn how to communicate because you don't know how to spell."
That is a good irony there.
Yes.
I'm too embarrassed to ask him what he means
oh.
in his own writing.
What would I have to give you for you to respond?
What's the response that you want?
What's a nabber? That's it. That's it. Three
right,
words.
I'm going in.
Oh, man. What's a nabber? Wow. I just want to see the response.
It has been sent.
Oh, man. Oh, excellent. The cringe is here. Yeah. You need to get rid of the cringe in your friends because I don't want it anymore.
Al, make sure that you remind me to check my email before the end of the show because if the listeners at home are lucky, we'll get an update on what a nabber is.
And the screenshot that Andy just shared with the group, I can't read it all because it's cut off, but that sentence starts with, "Your nabbers currently was introduced."
Oh. Currently was
so
introduced.
So you got the grammar mixed in too.
Wow.
I mean, oh my goodness. You got to point it out. Right?
So I want to be the one pointing it out. Yeah, I don't want to be this guy.
You can't be sending this email.
No.
This is awful.
This screenshot is one of the worst things I've ever put my... you're not wrong, Andy. Everything is a different font size. I think you're getting trolled.
I was going to say, I hope this is just a phishing email and Andy got...
It's ooh. Possible.
Yeah, who did... What
no, was, no, this is a... this is a
their,
gentleman.
And that's
let's
their
call
email
him
address?
Vincent.
Okay.
And, well, there you go. Okay. So we're all going to be the ones pointing it out. All right, Dallas from Patreon, would you rather have to do family photos once a month?
No.
Or attend a children's birthday party once a month?
I do that four times a month.
Which one serves me cake while I'm miserable?
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of redemption at children's birthday parties. I don't like the obligation.
Yeah, but once you're there, it's not that bad.
It really isn't. It really, really... I just hate always having the, like... Saturdays are always, oh, we can't do this thing because we got to go to so-and-so's, you know,
party.
And it will be at 1 p.m.
Exactly,
oh, yeah. The time that you can't do anything in the morning, mm-hmm. and you cannot plan anything in the afternoon.
But once you're
perfectly
there,
timed.
I mean, sometimes you're going to a fun, like, bounce house place where, you know what? I'm getting up there too. My shoes are coming off. I'm bouncing. I'm going to pop some of these bounce houses. the family photos is one of my least favorite things. Like,
yeah.
It has gone 10 list.
I don't know if it's from complaining, but it has gone. It's been a long time since our family's gotten a family photo.
Us too.
And I almost feel sad. I almost feel bad about it now because it's been so long that I'm like, I know it's a miserable time.
Oh, we're due.
But we're
dude,
due.
The fellas, this is your time to shine. If you if you take this bull by the horns and you're the hero and you
we
go
set
to the,
it up.
You go to the wife and be like, "Hey, I've noticed that our family photos are a bit outdated. I think like I've cleared this day. Why could you do you know a photographer? Do you want to schedule this? Dude, your husband points will go through the
interesting.
Roof."
Interesting.
Yeah, but my wife listens, so I got till Monday.
Okay, well you better get on scheduled. It.
She'll be like, "Oh, now I know why you wanted a family photograph
session."
Oh,
man.
That's all right. I'm still going to try this on.
That's not bad.
I mean, if now's the time. But so to me, between these two, the family photos, I'm with you guys.
Is there any way to improve that just, process?
No.
Can we invent it right here?
I have some ideas.
Okay.
The worst part of the process to me is the outfit coordination.
Oh, so headshots only.
Oh, there we go.
But all green, five in a row.
Green bodysuits.
Yeah. Oh, and you CGI them in?
Yep. You can wear anything you want. You can look different in all your photographs. You remember this one when we were all dressed up like cowboys?
Remember this one where I was super shredded in the best shape of my entire life?
Yes, green bodysuits. And then wow. It's very easy because the issue for me, again, it's like the birthday party.
The getting dressed up, the kids hate it.
It's the week before. It's the
it costs money.
I got to go to this store. I got to go to that store. We got to match this, especially. Oh my goodness! If there's extended family, if it's our nucleus of five,
yeah,
whatever. We're gonna get an outfit for everybody, and we're done. But now, so-and-so on the other side of the valley, who 2 hours away, we got to coordinate outfits with what we've bought. Oh, it's just too much. And we are really due. Like, really, we have been talking about, like, much to my chagrin, we need new family photos.
I mean, after a certain point, I do recognize that it would be nice to have a family photo where we were somewhat looking the same as we do now.
How have we not gotten to a place where we can just AI generate some family photos? I mean, I want the
and
photos.
You could do the aging too. You just need one.
Yeah, I want the photographs. I don't want the process.
What did you just say, Al? I want you to read this.
I said I'm just picturing walking through the park and seeing Jason standing there with his family all in green spandex suits.
Well, no, the thing about the spandex suit is you don't have to go to the park. You go to a soundstage that is also all green. You're like, hey, remember when we took those pictures on Mars?
Wait, if we're in green bodysuits in front of a green screen, then we're just floating heads.
Yeah, you won't be able to.
That's exactly the point. You can be anything you want.
You can't put the body on.
No, you have to.
Everything's green.
You have to put a brand new body on everybody.
Oh my gosh! All right, I think it's time to move on to Jason's favorite segment.
Oh, let's not.
Highway to Spell.
I'm in a bit of denial. I was told that I did not win this last time.
That's true. That is true. Mike is our current reigning champion.
Something weird must have happened.
And I have won before, right?
You have.
Right. I think the time before that. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, Andy is two separate.
Well, look, I don't really consider Jason's a victory.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because I was given like two grades later words.
Fair.
Okay.
If you want to disqualify mine as well, I don't care.
Mike, you need to keep an air of competition going.
No, I care about competing with myself.
Oh, I see.
This isn't so much.
So did you let yourself down in your victory?
No, because I won.
Okay.
But it's letting yourself down in front of the hundreds of thousands of people listening to you not be able to spell.
Well,
as I talk about your nabber.
Yeah, we're making this is the ultimate comeuppance episode.
Oh, no.
We are just absolutely giving someone the business for spelling something wrong, and we are about to just destroy our own facade here.
Yeah, and the thing where does everybody know you can't spell or you know you can't spell?
Yeah.
All right, let's begin.
All right, we are going to start with sixth grade level words.
Okay.
Andy, here's your word.
Oh, it's
arithmetic.
Me.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't hear that at all.
Yeah.
No. Spell it.
Spell it. Go, Andy.
N-A-B-O-R-S. Neighbors. Oh,
let's try a different one here.
Okay.
Arithmetic.
That's a sixth grade word?
It is.
I'm glad I don't have it, baby.
It starts with an R. I know that.
I'll give it to you one more time because I was talking over it.
Arithmetic.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Oh, man.
A-R-I-T-H-M-A-T-I-C. Arithmetic.
Oh, man. I can't find my horn, but that's wrong.
Boom. Oh, that's
there
wrong?
There it is. Sorry.
I will say that is not how I spelled it.
How I spelled it.
Oh.
Spell it.
The way I spelled it was worse.
You go, Jay.
No. Jeremy, how
is
it spelled?
Is it metic instead of matic?
Exactly.
Those are the two ways I wrote it.
A-R-I-T-H-M-E-T-I-C, arithmetic.
Okay. Well, A-R-I,
I didn't want to play anyone. That is not a sixth grade word. That's some bull crap.
Don't worry.
B-U-L-L-C-R-A-P. Bull crap.
All right, Mike, here's your sixth grade level word.
That was fun.
Separately.
Oh, I hate this word.
I spell this. I never, ever
get this. Oh,
this
is so good.
I'm toast.
This could be the shortest segment of all time.
Well, we're just
going to. Well, hopefully you all get them wrong and we can.
Oh, gosh. So, nope. This. No.
We're getting our comeuppance.
This is awful. I know which one. I think I've got how I would spell it, but it's probably wrong.
No, this is not good.
Oh, man.
Separately.
This is not good. Okay.
Oh, man.
S?
Yeah, you got it.
E-P.
That's the question. S-E-P?
S-E-P. A-R-A-T-E-L-Y.
That's how I would have spelled it.
Oh, yes!
Yes! You're the smartest man alive!
All right, Jason. Let's see if he can...
And you spelled arithmetic wrong, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
how did you spell it?
He spelled it the
same way I did.
Oh, same way. I spelled it wrong in a different way.
Gotcha.
I think I went A-R-E.
All right, Jason, keep us alive. Here's your sixth grade level word.
Doubtful.
Persuade.
Oh, I know that one, right?
Hold on a second. I spelled arithmetic right.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, what is happening?
There it says that there's two versions of the spelling.
What? Andy is.
Yes.
Where are you seeing
What
this?
Is the difference between arithmetic and arithmetic? Arithmetic, M-A-T-I-C, is the mathematics of numbers.
Wait.
And arithmetic is relating to the use of arithmetic.
You should have asked for the definition.
I see both of them.
I do see what Andy is seeing.
Yes, okay. I'm not gone.
Andy is back in the game.
Yes.
All right. I still don't understand the difference between those two definitions.
How can one apply to the same thing and be spelled differently?
Wait, so we're saying you can use an E or an A?
There's both.
Now, what about the third letter? Was that also in consideration? You could use an I or an E because... Pretty sure I'd be fine there. All right, my word
now, is... Now, however, the definition of the word one that I gave on this dictionary is, quote, the misspelling of arithmetic.
Yeah. That would be my definition.
Hmm.
Okay.
So you determine if I'm in or out, but Jason, keep going.
Okay. I think you got to put him in for the good show.
My word is persuade. I believe it is spelled P-E-R-S-U-A-D-E.
Ooh, yeah, you let you sweat.
Sorry, yeah, I was researching. I'm going to go ahead and say Andy's still in it.
Okay,
all right,
perfect.
Okay, we are
graduating to seventh grade.
Oh wait, do I? I probably need to spell a sixth grade word right though, don't
just
I?
Just move it on.
Okay,
we're going to call that one correct.
Perfect.
All
it
right,
was the
Andy.
Correct misspelling of the.
Here is your seventh grade level word, Andy.
Irresistible.
Oh.
Simply irresistible.
Oh, yeah, that
no.
one's going to be a problem,
oh,
too.
Oh, no.
I believe there's only one correct spelling for this word.
Okay, good.
Oh, no.
I'm in big trouble.
This does
I've
not
got
look
it.
Good.
I've got mine.
Well, I have mine, too, Jason.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying I wrote it. I'm not saying it's right.
Well, I didn't want to be in this game anyway. I-R-R-E-S-I-S-T-A-B-L-E.
That's how I did it.
Oh, yeah,
I'm just kidding.
I didn't have a good feeling about that.
Is it all
that.
I's?
Is there more S's?
It is all I's. You just swap that A for that I, and you would have had it right.
Oh, it's irresistible, not stable?
Correct.
Well, so it's still I-R-R-E-S.
Yes. E-S-I-S-T-I-B-L-E.
Okay.
Irresistible.
I don't know if I can trust you, but all right.
Yeah, you're going to need to Google that, Andy.
Bet that while we move on to Mike here.
All right, I'm going to double check.
Mike, here's your seventh grade level word.
I would say that, like, we say words funny because that's irresistible.
Sometimes we mess
it's not
up.
Tipple.
We mess up in the fact that the way we pronounce them, then we spell them that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then sometimes we say
also
irresistible.
I was officially wrong on that one.
Okay. All right. Mike, here's checked. Your seventh grade level word.
Maneuver.
Oh, that. No. What?
Oh, shoot.
This is not. This is going to be a car crash.
Oh man!
Maneuver.
I think I have that one.
Maneuver.
Now, does it help if I say a cow drops
maneuver?
A lot of maneuver?
Yeah. Maneuver, huh?
Jason's spelling.
Man.
Has
well,
be...
I'm just reading my words, and none of them are right.
I've tried to write it three times, and it's come out the same way. So
maneuver. M-A-N-E-U-V-E-R.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
You're
well
the best done. That ever's been.
I wrote three different words. None of them were that. But it's okay because I'm still in the game.
Oh, man.
All right. Come on. Somebody. All right. Get me to high school.
Here's your seventh grade level word.
Paralyze.
Paralyze, huh?
Layup.
Is it? Okay.
Okay. I think I got this one.
Okay.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about it.
Can you give me the whether there's a Y in this word? all right. I'm going to go paralyze.
Can you give me the root?
Can you give me the spelling of the word, please? P-A-R-A. L. Peril. I-Z-E.
Mm-mm.
No.
Ooh.
Oh, Mike, you win again.
I did it.
There is a Y in the word.
Yeah, see, that's all I asked. Why didn't you tell me? Y-Z-E is
what I
said.
What a disaster of a performance here.
That was the worst by far we've ever done. We have, we spelled the majority of those words wrong, including you.
Did you hear me stick maneuver?
Let's see if Mike, how far Mike can go.
Okay.
All right, Mike, here's your eighth grade level word.
Almost
subtlety.
Okay.
Subtlety.
I think I'm 0 for 100 on today.
Yeah, I wrote it down quick, and that looks wrong.
Okay, I'm going to go S-U-B-T-L-E-T-Y.
Oh, it was right.
Nice work. All
Why
right.
is there a B in that word? What is happening?
You don't say subtlety? Subtlety? Subtlety.
All right, Mike, on to ninth grade.
Oh, yeah.
Here you go.
Curriculum.
Oh, that one's actually easy.
What? Curriculum?
I didn't get to the end of the word before I said it was easy.
C-U-R-R-I-C-U-L-U-M.
That's how I did it. All right. It was easy.
Domination,
tenth
fellas.
10th grade. Let's All go. Right. Let's get this boy to college.
Here you go, Mike. Your 10th grade level word.
Surreptitious.
Well, no college for you, buddy.
Is that the maple kind?
It is delicious.
Maple syrupticious, yeah.
Syrupticious?
It means stealthy.
Play it for him again.
Surreptitious.
Surreptitious?
I don't even know what letter it begins with.
We can see if this one's any better.
Surreptitiously.
Which one is it? Surreptitious?
Surreptitious.
Okay.
I mean, this ain't right.
Okay. S... U-R-U-P, syrup, T-I-C-O-U-S.
That was super wrong.
Yeah, I mean.
All right, we got
you're still the winner, Mike. Great
what's,
job.
What's it?
S-U-R-R-E-P-T-I-T-I-O-U-S-L-Y.
There is very little worse than being wrong on the second or third letter, which I was again.
Well, I was eventually. I was going to go with S-Y.
Syrup.
I'm just going to hit him with the syrup.
So it was all gravy at this point.
Syrupticious? That's stealth?
Yeah, stealthy.
Surreptitiously.
Stealth.
Arithmetic.
Or this really long word.
Wait, you didn't pronounce the B in that. Syrupticiously.
All right, we're moving on.
The Spitballers Draft.
We are drafting movies you wish you could watch again for the first time, which I think will be very interesting. I don't know what the 101 is here.
I don't think there is a great 101, but there was certainly something that came to my mind first.
All right.
So when I thought about this, and I've got a couple different kind of outlets on this, not just twists at the end of a movie, but experiences I want to do over again. But the first thought of a movie I want to watch for the first time again, the whole point is that the ending isn't ruined. I get to experience that twist again. And one of the greatest all-time twists is The Sixth Sense.
Okay.
Where...
yeah,
spoiler. He sees dead people. and he's dead.
Yeah, it was... That movie changed cinema, I think.
It really did.
I didn't know how high it would go. It was on my list for sure. It wasn't spoiled for me before I got to the movie theater, which was also something that was neat. And so I definitely had that moment. I was really thinking of this question, twists as a part of it, but really just that the moment after you watch it feeling
mm-hmm.
of just, it can be awe, it can be emotion, it can be fear, whatever. Just like, I saw something special, unique, and now Mike's got two picks.
I was going to say that it came out in 1999, so that's, I mean, that's pre-Facebook. You know, yeah. Like, are people MySpacing in 99?
Not to the point where you were going to see spoilers, no.
Yeah, so I mean, the internet has made it difficult to see something without knowing what's going to happen.
I can't even like delay watching a sporting event without getting like 5 app notifications. So it's tough because I think if I don't take one of these picks here, Mike's going to take it.
Okay.
But I'm not certain. So I'm just going to go with the one that, like, when you're in the movie theater, I'm going, wow, I'm seeing something I've never seen before. I feel like I'm at an event. And for me, it was seeing The Matrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It's
in
very
the
high
movie
on my
theater.
List.
So The Matrix, to me, it was special effects, cinematography, fighting, all this stuff that was just so groundbreaking that, I don't know, you felt like it was just one of a kind.
Yeah, and that one changed movies. I think we've drafted that for something before, but the twist in The Matrix at that time was a full just explosion of your brain. Like, that was not in the realm of outcomes of, like, what is The Matrix? Like, no, you're in it right now. Everybody's in it. And you're just nothing. Your life is not real. You're living in a computer. You're like, what? I'm in a computer, man. So I loved it. It was very high on my list.
And all the graphics.
It was the CGI for me.
And even the lack of CGI in some of those scenes where they invented new camera systems to do the
360
shots. And, you know, it's one of those where we have to suspend reality, where if we get to watch it again for the first time, it's not. We get to watch it again for the first time today. Right. But, like, then.
Sure. Yeah. All right. My first pick, when I left the movie theater, I was so pumped on this movie. It was like, well, this instantly skyrockets into like a top 5 movie of all time for me. After that kind of wore off, it's fallen down a bit, but it's still fantastic. It is Inception.
Christopher
Nolan
movie,
because that was another one of those where it's a mind job, and you're just the layers of the dreams within the dreams, going through all of the twist endings, and then, like, at the end, getting to explore, is the main character back in the dream? Is he alive? You know, that whole discussion. I
need to watch that again.
I love an open-ended movie. And when you go back, you realize there are some just massive, massive plot holes and problems with the story. You don't, or at least I didn't notice my first watch through. So it was a perfect movie at that time. You're like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, see, I thought about that movie, but I actually like watching it again, knowing the kind of question at the end, so I can be like, oh man, now I get it more. Because I think when I left the theater the first time, it was like, okay, that was pretty cool, I think.
Right.
but what happened?
I had a bit of that too.
I remember sending it was probably Facebook, because that was the media at the time. I was like, this is top 5. It's a top 5 movie. You got to go see it.
We love, by the way, just for the record, people love saying that.
That something's a top 5.
Like, if something can break into your top 5, man, you want to say it's in your top 5.
Yeah.
It's fun.
All right. So then my next pick.
Your next top 5 movie is.
I don't think it's a top 5 movie. I'm here. I'm going through the list. What possibly could get snatched? So I'm going to.
Snatch.
Which is a great movie.
It's a pretty good movie.
You like Diggs? I'm going to go, it's another one. It's another experience. You had to be in the movie theater for it. I am very pro, please release the movie at my home so I can watch it on my TV. But this one was totally worth being in the theater, because 3D actually made sense for one movie.
Dang it.
It is Avatar.
Dang it.
Which
that was,
I am glad to hear the responses that Avatar would not have made it back. But no. It was like,
3D is so hokey for so many movies, and for that movie, it added to it. You wanted it.
Yes. When that movie came out in 3D, I left the theater saying, 3D is going to be...
Top 5.
Top 5. I left the theater thinking, okay, so now that they've figured out how to, like, actually make a true 3D movie where it added to the film, I was like, that's just the way it's going to be. I literally went and bought, like, a 3D TV at that time, because I thought this is where media was going.
I remember when you bought that.
Nothing has ever come out good in 3D since then. Not once.
Yeah.
But that movie was unbelievable in 3D.
Okay. That's a good pick, Mike. It would have been, probably wouldn't have been my next one. So Jason might have snagged it.
I was between Avatar 3D and The Sixth Sense for my first pick.
Well, my second pick here is going to be in the same vein as The Matrix was, which was stuff I hadn't seen before that left me in awe, and it was Jurassic Park.
Okay.
I was someone who loved dinosaurs. Nobody had ever done that. There's that kind of funny juxtaposition of like the characters in the movie and how they react to seeing dinosaurs for the first time, and then the people in the actual theater seeing dinosaurs for the first time. It was a groundbreaking event with CGI and all of that. The music, the score. I'd love to see Jurassic Park with fresh eyes for the first time.
It was fabulous. I remember the theater where I saw it.
Memory about that.
It was an influential movie, and I remember that was like it wasn't THX, but it was like they had this huge special sound system for it, and this thing was at 120%.
They cranked it when that dinosaur was growling.
The velociraptors were so
all your drinks in the theater were doing the whole ripple thing.
Yes.
All right.
They cranked it up.
Yeah.
Two picks for you, Jason.
Great, great movie. Top five all time for sure.
Yes, for sure.
All right. So I'm number one. I'm two picks here, and I'm gonna, since I lost Avatar 3D, which was the experience, the unbelievable viewing. I'm gonna just pivot back to my first pick and the idea of seeing a movie,
The Seventh Sense,
that is kind of ruined. Like if you go watch
Lady
the
in the
Sense,
Water, is what he was gonna say.
Yeah, I'm going all M. Night Shyamalan movies here. But you know, if you go back and watch Sixth Sense again, it's kind of ruined. You already know the ending, and the ending is everything to the movie. So I'm gonna pick two more of those, and I'm just gonna lean into the twist ending movies. The other two best craziest endings. I'm going with Seven.
That was the first movie I wrote down.
I mean, that movie is top five, no doubt.
That is a troubling twist.
Yeah. That is a
throughout the entire movie, it is very, very troubling.
The whole movie.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, it is dark and it is just awful. But it is
top five.
Top five for sure. It's a fantastic movie about an awful, awful thing. And, you know, what's in the box?
Yeah.
What's in the box? And then I'll go with something a little lighter because that's every other movie that's ever been made. And I'm going to go with The Usual Suspects.
Okay.
Entire movie builds up to one finale scene revealing
Kaiser Soze. All right. So
Kaiser
Sixth Sense.
Permanente.
Seven and The Usual Suspects. It's back to me?
Yes, it is.
So I'm going to go with one that does both, you know, cinematic history, you know, stuff that you're not used to seeing, and a twist. So I'm actually going to go to Star Wars.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to The Empire Strikes Back.
That's fair.
Luke, I am your father.
Yeah, sure.
For the very first time. That reveal, it seems so, like, not a reveal. Because it's like a meme or a cliche or whatever you want to call it. That neither of those are right. It's just so well known.
None of us got to experience that as a reveal, right?
No, like, I did not. I already knew.
Everybody knew that in our generation. Like the generation before us, that was like, what?
Have you heard Mark Hamill talk about
that? Yes, I have.
Of that.
When he read it in the script?
He filmed it. Right. So he reads it in the script and he's like, are you serious? Talking to George about it.
Oh, really?
And Hamill had to keep it secret. So Harrison Ford, so Han Solo didn't know that was going to happen.
Wow.
In the movie. And Hamill tells a story of them going and Han Solo gets mad at him. Like in the real life Han Solo, but just like you, why didn't you tell me? Why did you not tell me that this was what was going to happen?
So, it must be so crazy as an actor not knowing.
Like keeping that secret back then, like when I can't imagine very many things are a top secret. Like, you cannot release this ending of the movie, where that happens all the time now, where, like, in the Avengers, people are given fake scripts just in case something slips out. But, like, to have to sit on that secret from, like, good friends of yours, and you're like, I can't tell you this thing. That would be such a wild thing to hold on to.
All right, Mike, your final two picks on movies you wish you could watch again for the first time.
All right. So I'm going two very different directions with this one.
A goofy movie.
No, that one just gets better and better. But Mad Max Fury Road.
That's the newest one, right?
Yes, that sounds like a strange one to say, but try to remember when you saw that movie. And you had, like, Mad Max is an interesting character. You have the old Mel Gibson movies. But you go in, Mad Max Fury Road is an anxiety attack for 90 straight minutes.
Pretty much is.
Once the action starts in that movie, it doesn't ever let up. And it just keeps going and going. And you can't believe that that it's still fresh. The action is still awesome. Like, normally you need ebbs and flows. Like, I need the up, I need the down so that the up can be up. But this movie is just punching you in the face over and over and over. And you're like,
and you like that.
Oh,
you want that again.
By the end of it, you're exhausted.
That's your favorite.
The movie was incredible. The action scenes were fantastic. You got the
someday we'll have to draft movies you wish you had never seen.
Nine Lives. Nine Lives is the one. Please do that on one of my scat days, because I was drugged to a movie theater to see that. It cost me 10 lives to see that movie. Goodness gracious.
All right. You saw the movie Nine Lives. Is that with the cat?
Yes.
Yes, it's a cat
Kevin
movie starring Kevin Spacey.
And Christopher Walken?
It's bad.
Give me some of Walken's lines from the movie.
This movie is bad.
All right. So from the action to funny.
Hope you had food during that movie.
All snacks.
This movie, we were just talking about it in the office, and whenever I talk about the movie, it reminds me of when I saw it in the theater, and the opening sequence, I just couldn't stop laughing.
Really?
Oh, I know what you're going here.
I'm going Kung Pao.
Wow.
Enter the Fist. Because the movie opens with this, where a baby ends up falling down, like rolling down a mountain, and it just goes on and on.
Mike could watch babies roll down mountains for hours.
It goes for, like, the joke just keeps going. It hits the cycle of, you're like, okay, this is funny. It's funny. Okay, it's too long now. It's not funny, but they just keep going, and it wraps around, and it is once again funny. And
the whole movie's that way.
The whole movie's great, but I'm saying, like, there's a couple of those movies, like that one and Hot Rod with Andy Samberg. There was a scene in that movie that got me too, where I just lost it. But the beginning of Kung Pao, I was laughing for probably 10 straight minutes. Can't breathe. You're sweating. You're crying. And you're happy about it. So to relive that
joy. I thought
you
were going
to
say Hot Shots Part 2, which also did that to me.
I thought you were going to say Super Troopers.
Yes.
Because the beginning 10 minutes of that movie are unbelievable.
They're very, very
funny.
Good, too.
But here's the cool thing. This whole Kung Pao, was that Enter the Fist? Is that the full name of it?
Yes.
I have never seen it.
Yes.
So I literally get to... Like, I need to...
I highly recommend it.
I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this movie, because I've seen a clip or two, and they were both hilarious. I get to watch it for the first time, Mike.
If
Thank you
enjoy just
stupid
comedy, you will have a great time watching this movie.
So I find drafting my fourth pick here very difficult, because I have like three or four that make sense here. But I'm going to go with an off-the-beaten-path movie.
Join me.
Yes. Because it is funny, endearing.
Okay.
A unique plot. And really kind of what I consider to be a perfect movie.
Bambi.
No, you're not gonna believe it though. But genuinely, The Truman Show is my answer.
Oh.
I thought The Truman Show is one of the best kind of it's not groundbreaking in the sense that you're not watching, like, I don't know, a Marvel movie or some Matrix, but just from I laughed, I cried, all of that stuff. I think that movie is spectacular.
Top five?
Top five movie. Yeah, obviously.
You know,
good evening, good afternoon, and good night.
It's funny. This whole top five bit that we're doing is funny because I'm looking at my list and thinking about what I thought when I saw a lot of these movies. This one I'm about to draft, both seven and this, I came out of the movie theater saying top five. We love doing that.
We absolutely love doing it. And everybody's got a top five that has about 20 to 30 movies in it.
That's right.
100%. It's definitely in my top five.
Yes.
But I am going to draft a top five movie here. And it's another Brad Pitt movie. I already have seven.
Oh, are you going Fight Club?
I am going Fight Club. Because all right.
When
that movie came out, it's another movie that's got kind of a big twist at the end. That's yep. like, whoa. But then the whole movie is fantastic. The opening sequence was great. It's so funny. Meatloaf is, yeah. I mean, when Meatloaf is a star of the movie, you know it's good.
Yeah, very, very deep, a whole bunch of underlying things. My biggest memory of Fight Club is I went to see it with the friends. And whenever that came out, I mean, we were either like...
Saw that in the movie theater?
Yeah.
Oh, you're older than me.
Well, I was going to say, I was either just of age or just under. And
wasn't supposed to.
We had the friends who worked at the movie theater.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, so, I mean, we were basically 18-year-olds. This came out in 99.
Okay. So, yeah. So, 16, but whatever. Close enough.
17.
But, I mean, this is a grown-up movie.
What's rated R, by the way? Is it 17 and above?
18.
Yeah. No, R
it should
is 17.
Be 17.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Then I was legal.
But Fight Club is a very rated R movie. And if you recall, it's an intense grown-up movie.
Yeah, just leave it there.
And I'm telling my parents, like, oh, well, what'd you do? Well, I went and saw Fight Club. I thought it was great, yada, yada. So they're like, okay, they go and see Fight Club.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No, Mike.
And then they're like, you liked that movie? And I'm like, oh, no.
No, I didn't. Of course not. They forced me to go.
I said Fight Club. saw the wrong movie.
So that was not a fun conversation.
That's
for
too
young
funny.
Teenage Mike.
Three movies I'm going to throw out there that were in my list. Dark Knight.
Okay, yeah.
With Heath Ledger. Sure. It felt like an event. The comedy I chose was Tommy Boy, because that's one of my, just hit me at that right age.
Yep.
And then, what was the other one I had? Oh, Raiders of the Lost Ark was another.
Okay.
Yeah. I had Ace Ventura on there for the funny movie that I would love to see again for the first time. Harry Potter, just because when that finally came out as, someone that read the books, that was an experience.
When the first one came out, were you already a full book nerd?
I was full book nerd. All the movies all the books were not out yet when that first one came out. But
that was a hard one because the anticipation was so great, but I didn't think the movie
the
was
movie's
that good.
Not that great, but the experience was good.
Yeah, that
and
makes
then,
sense.
And then the Prestige.
Oh, Prestige is on my list.
Yeah, it was great.
It's another one of those twists.
Which is
you like the twists.
Well, if I'm going to watch it over for the first time, I love experience.
Yeah, love the twists. And it's all the Nolan movies. Interstellar's on my list. And these are movies that he's really good at making a thought-provoking in a movie that you have an emotional response to. And then you go back and you watch, you go, why didn't the character just do this one thing?
Yeah.
And then you're like, why?
Movie's over.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
You solved it.
But he makes good movies.
All right. Any others that you guys want to mention? Al, do you have anything? Do you ever watch movies? You ever seen a movie before?
I've seen some movies.
The nice thing is this list now, he can go watch all of these for the first time.
Yeah, he's never seen them.
Anybody ever seen the movie Frequency before?
Oh, yeah.
With
Frequency,
Jim Caviezel
that's
and
a father-son
Robert
movie.
Yeah.
Quaid?
Yeah,
yeah Robert I think Quaid. It's one of them.
No, Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid.
It's a Quaid.
It's one of them.
The Deucers were chatting a little bit before we actually did the draft. I had said that Sixth Sense would be my 101, and there was a consensus in the office that Memento would also be
there.
Oh, yeah.
No, Memento.
I
that
thought
movie
about it.
Was great.
It's very confusing.
I loved
Which,
that movie.
I think Memento is also Nolan. If I'm,
is it really?
Yeah,
it
I
is.
Think it is Nolan. Yeah.
Yes.
No, he's willing to confuse you.
Yes.
And you leave pretending you know what happened, so your friends still think you're smart.
Which Nolan, like everything he worked for, got into. I don't. Did you guys see Tenet?
Yes.
I saw part of it, man. I gave up.
I have. I saw that in the theater.
Too far, Nolan. Too far.
And then I saw it at home so I could turn the subtitles on so I could make sure I know exactly what is being... No idea. No idea.
And for the record, Dunkirk's one of the worst movie experiences I've ever had in my life.
Oh, no. That's the only one I haven't seen.
Dunkirk was going to a movie theater to watch sand and have the sound turned up too high. It was so bad. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in theater.
Really?
One of the longest.
This is where I checked the Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know if it got great reviews.
Let's find
Didn't
out.
Didn't it win Best Picture or something?
No, no. Oh, 92%. I dare you to watch it.
Okay, 81% audience, so you're
no, I want you to watch
small
it.
Small minority.
I want you to watch it, but it is important to me that you put headphones on and turn it up too loud, because that's the experience
that's
I had.
That's not Nolan's fault.
He put some like wild sounds in that movie.
It did, okay. In fact, win Best Picture in 2018.
Dunkirk?
Yes, Best Director, Best Picture, Best Production Design, Best Original
have you
Score,
seen it?
Best
top,
Cinematography.
Top five.
Top
have you
five
seen it?
I have not. I have
have
not.
You seen it?
No, but it's top five.
I want you to watch it. That would be a gift to me.
I'll tell you what. If
carve out 4 hours.
It's between Dunkirk and Kung Pao, and I'm watching Kung Pao, baby.
All right. Well, I would recommend that.
What did we learn today?
I learned that I use my pinkies for typing, and that matters to me.
I learned a new way, genuinely, to spell the word neighbors. Oh, let's check the old email.
Oh, yeah. We need an update there. Anything?
Any neighborly alert?
I also learned there's two ways to spell arithmetic.
Yeah.
Are we sure of that?
One and a half ways to spell arithmetic.
Thank you.
And I learned that, fellas, just bite the bullet and go tell the spouse that you need to do some family photos.
My idea.
Our idea.
Well, we'll have to check in, see if he ever replies. Next episode of The Spitballers. Thanks for tuning in, supporting the show. Check out jointhespit.com. Catch you next time.
Tell your friends. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to The Spitballers podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.